Friday, March 22nd, I was up early, did work at my desk, got a hair comb, had a series of pictures made by Fred Maroon, who's doing an article for two magazines, and then, a little past 12, left for my old beat, the Capitol. I was going to lunch with the 75th Club. Senator Margaret Chase Smith was our hostess. I went in the familiar entrance on the Senate side, where for 12 years I had so often taken constituents for lunch or sightseeing, feeling more conspicuous than I ever had. Francis Pogue, the president, and Mrs. Lyle Boren, the secretary, were there to meet me, and we walked into the Senate dining room, not the old familiar one that I loved with the broomy ceilings, and Paul or John bowing hospitably, knowing every one of us by name, but a strange white characterless place that, in Mrs. Smith's words, looked like a child's restaurant. But there, at a long table, was Senator Smith, so warm and hospitable that I was even gladder I had come, and Mrs. Murdoch, who had been our first president when I had entered the club in April of 37, and we in all numbered about 125, and Mrs. Shepherd of California, her husband is now very old and ill, and Ivo Sparkman. She and Frances Pogue are the only two wives of sitting members, Senator Smith having progressed from the status of a wife to a member herself, and Mattie Lee Grant, her Alabama accent completely undaunted by 30 years of living in Washington, and Mae Simpson. We were nine, all told, and we had a delightful time, reminiscing back over 30 years. Frances brought up the subject of Henrietta Hill and suggested that it would be a nice tribute if we all went together and put her name on the bronze plaque in the Congressional Club. Mrs. Murdoch, after so many years of being a guide after her husband's defeat, is now sitting at the desk where the books on the history of the Capitol are sold. And she reported some enormous sales, about 2 million, I believe. We talked about the great old days when Mrs. Roosevelt would be our guest of honor. I still have a movie of a bit of it. And we would invite our favorite constituents, and we'd raise a lot of money to send a crippled boy through college to buy a wheelchair for another. With them, I did not feel in the least self-conscious. But the Senate, alas, has changed. Best of all, I enjoyed visiting with Senator Smith. She said, "You know, I have stood by the president." I gathered she meant in most of his military decisions. She expressed a wry distaste for the shouting dissenters on college campuses. She said, "I tell them they have the right to dissent, but after they have done that, the majority rules." And of the bill they have up today, regulating the ethics of senators, she described as an exercise in futility. The first senator to come over and say hello was the majority leader, quiet above it all. That the same institution should have had two leaders so different as Lyndon Johnson and Mike Mansfield never ceases to puzzle me. Of him, Senator Smith said, "You know, I think Mike's greatest trouble is that he tries to oblige everybody." That results, I gather, in having a pretty short work week. What with this one and that one and the other one, want to make speeches over a protracted weekend, not to mention the long holidays. Albert Gore came over, completely white-haired now. He didn't reach over and shake hands. He just sort of stood on the other side of the table and surveyed us all and looked as though he couldn't believe his eyes seeing me. Senator Javits came over and was exceptionally cordial. And I was delighted to see Senator McGee and Senator Mondale. Senator McGovern came over. I don't know quite why. And Senator Morse. And no matter how mad you get at him, he is funny. One of the last authentically colorful figures about whom you can weave so many good stories in a Senate that used to abound with characters. When Senator Smith said something laughingly about, "I don't see you around much, you must be running," he said, "Running? I'm galloping." Oh. Senator Tower was in the room with an extraordinarily beautiful Eurasian girl, and Senator John Sherman Cooper and Harry Byrd, Jr. Senator Smith had ordered a really delicious lunch for us, a crab casserole for which the Senate is famous. And it was an hour lifted out of my life of 12 years, and every moment enjoyed. I left a little before 2 and went back to the White House, just in time to meet Walter Washington and go on one of our rides around this town, followed by Fred Maroon for his series of pictures. We drove around Haynes Point and went past Buchanan School, where we got out. Here, I think Fred should have gotten some excellent ones. Walter at once met an old friend, shook hands with him. He was apparently the boss on the job, and showed us around the construction. The sunken basketball court is finished, and the igloo for climbing. The trees will go in soon. It's really taking shape, and I'm so proud of it. This is going to be the best thing that our committee has accomplished in the area of community life. We went by Kappa Housing Project. Here, once more, we got out, and while Walter was explaining the possibilities for me, a small crowd gathered, every one of whom seemed to know Walter. And one of them said, "Y'all talking about our community project? Ms. Johnson, don't you want to come see the plans we've got?" His intimate relation with this town is really a vital factor in his usefulness to it. Then we drove by Syfax Gould, which Kay had made a handsome donation for landscaping and playground equipment, and found it in fair, not fine, condition. A little disappointing, really. My hair began to blow wildly, especially when we got out at another of Walter's projects. Everywhere Fred was snapping pictures, and I was trying to listen and learn, keep my hair smoothed down, and project an animated, interested appearance all at the same time. It's always refreshing, such a trip, and I returned feeling the better for it. All the way, we had talked about the luncheon on the 17th. Walter will ride on the buses with us. We tried pretty much to cover our route and to decide what we wanted most to see that wouldn't take more than an hour. Pretty well gotten it hewed down. The Buchanan with a stop, a brief run by Kappa. Around Haynes Point, if the cherry trees are in bloom. It looks so much better today now that the stakes are gone on the Potomac side. And Columbia Island for sure. Leisurely, maybe with pictures, and hopefully the peak display of Mary's glorious daffodils. I was back at the White House by 4, feeling the better for it, and spent the afternoon working at the desk until our dinner guests arrived. It was one of those quiet, easy evenings at home that are balm to Lyndon's spirit. No need to sell anybody, no need to put on a front. Or to be guarded lest someone is trying to use you or to figure out your motives or next actions. There were the George Christians and Arthur Krim down for the weekend with Matilda coming in later tonight. The Larry Temples and Simon McHughes. Marie and Marvin. Marion is in Texas. And Jim Jones. And Lucy and Pat. Even with the imminence of Pat's departure, Lucy gives so much of herself. Her attention, her laughter, companionship, understanding to her daddy. My admiration, my gratitude for her grows with the years. Of course, one of the main subjects of conversation was the big event of yesterday, Governor Rockefeller's decision. He'd gone on TV about 5 o'clock in the afternoon with the statement that he was not running for president. A very terse, forthright, manly, dramatic statement. He simply examined it carefully, and it was evident that he did not have the support of the Republican machinery. He left open the slim possibility of a last-minute draft, but made it clear he did not expect it. I was sorry. Somehow, I felt a little lonelier. It had been only a little earlier that afternoon that I'd been talking to Lawrence to thank him for the wonderfully generous thing he's doing, making it possible for an overall plan for the state park across from the ranch. He, in his marvelous underplayed way, made it seem as though he were offering you no more than a cigarette, and that it was the greatest pleasure. Getting to know the Rockefellers has been one of the nice things about this job. Later that night, after dinner, Lyndon said, "I believe I'll call Nelson. What do you think?" I said, "I wish you would." And so, while he was getting a rub, he did. He said, "I'm sorry. I'd sort of hoped the Republicans would field their best man